My name is Kevin Elliott, and with me is the illustrious, the funniest, the sportsaholic, Chris Centeni. What's up, man?
How's it going, dude?
I'm good. Real quick, this is Barroom Heroes.
This is
our podcast, our comedy sports podcast.
Amen.
We formerly were the Glory Days podcast.
And our glory days are behind us.
Our glory days are over. We are now Barroom Heroes. We had a bit of a distribution issue and a little bit of a studio thing. Now we got our own gig. We're doing our thing. But with that said, we are still on the Punch Drunk Sports Network, part of all things comedy. Shout out to Sam Tripoli, Bill Burr, Al Madrigal. Thank you for having us. And they're excited that we're doing this move, too, because, well, they weren't happy with
because
the distribution either.
I was going to say there's some distribution issues, so they're probably a little happy that we're independent world champion podcasters now.
Judah Friedlander would be proud. Explain Barroom Heroes. How did we get that name from Glory Days to now Barroom Heroes?
Okay. I always thought that our show was kind of more of a barroom hero vibe anyway. Because I don't have any success in sports, professional, collegiate, anything, but I still feel like I know more than everyone. So when you're a barroom hero is the guy that, like, he's always right, he's always got an opinion. It could be politics, sports, music, whatever. He probably fights people, but he's always wrong usually. So it made a little more sense. The glory days are behind us. And now we're just barroom heroes at this point. So
they're definitely behind us, man. I'm excited. I feel more relaxed.
I love it.
It's a very different vibe, but I like the vibe. So thank you, everybody that did listen to Glory Days. Thanks for coming over to Barroom Heroes with us and all the new listeners. Welcome aboard. What we do is we talk about sports, anything that happened within the week or whatever. We don't tackle the obvious stories most of the time.
Right.
We will on occasion if you can't just skip over it. Because I think if you're listening to sports, you're kind of listening to sports radio, and they will annoy the shit out of you with those stories.
All day.
Right.
24-hour
listen to
annoying
us with something
me.
A little different. We tell stories, too, from playing sports. Chris and I played sports growing up, and though Chris says we weren't successful, he's right. In the professional and college...
That's what I'm saying. Routes,
we were not successful, but we were killer high school and before. My Little League stats were out of this world. I think I batted .687 one year, and that was, you know, just... I had mono for half the year, and I still... .687.
That's what slowed you down.
.687.
Yeah, those
and I didn't have mono, but you know what? I told my school I did, so I didn't have to run around in PE. I didn't like running. You know, I'm not a big runner. Not a big runner, but I was fast back then. I was thin, fit. Believe it or not, dude, ladies loved Kevin, LL Cool K.
I hope that's not a real nickname anyone
gave.
No,
but I gave it to myself.
Okay, good.
Now.
It sounds like you gave it to yourself.
It's my new Twitter handle. Now, follow me on Twitter at KE Comedy. Follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Centeni. That is ChrisCentenni. Chris Centeni. Follow us there. If you want to check out our shows, just follow us on Twitter. That's where we post our stuff. I don't have a website for two reasons. Let me tell you those, Chris.
Okay.
I don't have a website because, one, I'm too stupid to do it myself. And two, I'm too cheap to pay someone to do it.
I was literally going to say the reason I don't have a website is because I don't know how to do it. I don't have the first notion of how to do it. And if I pay somebody else to do it, I will never trust them. That's my problem. I'll say, like, this guy's building my website. He's probably going to upload some sketchy stuff behind my back.
For sure.
Try to sell me out.
So let's do this. Pay some bills. Let's go hit up PunchDrunkSports.com. PunchDrunkSports.com for all your ridiculous sporting needs. If you're trying to look up real stuff, don't go there because they're all hoaxy, fun articles, and they're not always sports either. We do a bunch of crazy things on that website, videos and a bunch of the podcasts you can find on there. So hit that up and go to SeatGeek, get the app, put in the code PunchDrunk, and do that for $20 off your next ticket price. So with that said, did you watch the, before we get into sports, David Blaine? I feel like that sports, David Blaine had a special on Tuesday night.
I didn't. Well, is that the one where I saw a clip of something where he was like, barfing frogs?
Yeah,
dude, that was not cool,
dude. All right,
well, no, here's the thing, it is cool, but this is what I really didn't understand. Where were they and why were all of those guys hanging out together?
Oh, dude, like Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Drake, Dave Chappelle. What party is this?
My favorite was the guy who reported on a website that Marshawn Lynch was there. And I looked back and I'm like, that's not, I know who you think is Marshawn Lynch. That's not Marshawn Lynch hanging out back there.
It's ASAP Rocky.
Well, I was just like, dude, what? First of all, what I need is when he's going out, when he's retiring, that was David Blaine, right? That they did. Okay, when he's going out, he needs to expose every trick, sell everybody out. All magicians following him. Ruin the craft.
Well, they said at the end, somebody who was with, or no, it wasn't. Was it one of the celebrities or something? Said, before you die, you need to write a book on how you do all this. It's fucking mind blowing.
I don't understand, because all I could think of is I'm like, okay, well, I've seen people like swallow things and then regurgitate them later, but wouldn't a live frog, wouldn't it die?
No,
In the stomach acid and stuff?
He figured out how to house like water animals. But in his stomach.
Somehow. Which all I'm saying is they even talk about it, the biblical plagues, right? Chappelle says the biblical plagues with the frog. So to me, that just means David Blaine's the devil at this point. He is a biblical plague.
He could
be. A walking biblical plague.
If he was like, I'm God or I'm the devil, I'm believing both. Dude, superhuman, man. The stuff that he does is mind-blowing to me. I'm a huge fan of magic. Not like in a nerdy way. Yeah. In a super nerdy way.
Be real, though. Magic is dope.
So I do the joke in my act, right? Like, I react to a naked woman the same way black people do street magic. But I react to street magic in a way nobody reacts. Dude, I lose my fucking mind. I'm watching it in my home alone, running around my house. No! No!
You do that thing where you just scream.
Yeah.
Just sitting on the couch. You're just like, whoa!
I pause it, rewind it, slow-mo it. I'm like, you're gonna where catch was the sleight of hand? Yeah.
As though the editor didn't already think about that.
It took a year and a half to edit. Yeah. And I'm like, hold on, give me 3 minutes. I'll find it. I'll find the slip up.
On Twitter, like someone videoing their screen on Twitter. And you're like, I'll catch it.
Totally. Dude is mind-blowing, man. And he's going to do that shooting himself in the face thing, or catching a bullet. Which is, I mean, he puts the cup in his mouth, which, by the way, shot to the back of his throat if anybody saw it.
I did not see that. Dude, he had like a special like on Netflix or something?
No, it was on ABC.
They do specials now? Magicians like do specials?
It was like an hour TV kind of.
I just didn't realize that.
I mean, it wasn't like a comedy special.
Is there like an open mic for magicians? I'm going to try to quit. It's a 7-minute bit. Can I get 8? In case this middle part.
Yo, light me at 5 because I got this story that's going to need 3 extra minutes and I'm going to need to know where I'm at.
I got a tiny little card thing I want to do at the end, so light me with 2 minutes left.
Dude, he does. So he catches a bullet in his teeth, but he has like, how do I explain it? Like almost like a mouth guard. Okay. For the top and bottom, and then like a almost glass. It's not a glass though. It's something to catch the bullet.
Okay.
So he wears the mouth guard and then puts like this glass in his mouth.
Okay.
Again, it's not glass, but it looks like a shot.
Okay.
Puts it in his mouth, and the thing, he did it the day before, as a rehearsal, and it broke the mouth guard. So then the guy shows up to the MGM Grand, is where he's doing like this big show, and first time he's gonna do it in front of people. And the guy's there, like, building him a new mouth guard. And before, they're like, look at this guy. He flew all the way out here with his tools. He's building me a killer mouth guard. Awesome. So they do it in front of the crowd. He shoots the gun, and it shattered the mouth guard that the guy built, put together.
Oh,
and
man.
You see the shot glass thing just shoot to the back of his throat. And he coughs it out. But, I mean, he's pretty fucked up. Pretty fucked up by it. So he's supposedly going to do it in every show that he does his world tour on. They did it in slow motion, too.
I don't know, man.
Our stat guy just posted a sign that said fake for television. What did you say? What was on it? Fake for television?
For story tension.
Story tension?
You show the mouth guard breaking so people think, even though they know how the trick works, that the trick might still go wrong.
First of all, I don't think it's a trick. It's not a trick. He's just standing in the right place. There's a laser. They've got the whole thing set up properly.
Which to me,
a trick.
Doesn't that seem kind of cheap? Like maybe it should be the shooter's show. If he's that precise, that's not fair.
He does it. David Blaine.
He does what?
He has a rope that pulls the trigger.
Okay.
because he doesn't want anyone responsible for shooting him in the face.
I was gonna say, can you? Let's be serious, though. Let's be real serious. Someone is still going to be very responsible if the rig like kind of goes askew when he pulls it and he blows himself all over the stage.
No shit.
There's going to be a long line of people who are going to be blamed for that death. None of them will be David.
His doctor
Blaine.
Was like, I don't want any part of this. You've done it twice now. I want no part of this. Things could go drastically wrong. Southern Magician is a friend of his. Also, he's like, he's going to do it anyway. You may as well be his friend and be there.
That's exactly. If you're the, what does the doctor care?
Yeah, if he gets shot in the face, there ain't much you can do about that.
We get his copay? I don't know.
That's totally true. If things go drastically wrong, there ain't anything you're going to have to do.
I'll be right here. I take Blue Cross Blue Shield, so make sure you have that before you do the trick. Because if you accidentally get shot in the face,
yeesh.
I don't want to have to send you to Fast Med. You know what I mean? I want to be able to treat you.
Is there an urgent care open right now? We got a shot victim to the face, David Blaine. All right. Let's dig in. I love that I was like, magic is kind of like sports, you know, because I run around whenever it happens.
Here's the thing, though. If they're going to call poker a sport, if they're going to televise the Magic the Gathering card game world
they don't
champion.
Televise that.
Yes, they do. I watched it.
The whole what?
Well, I watched the whole championship round.
How long is that? 8 days?
No, it was like
of Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Dude,
was it the only commercials
guys,
they played?
These dudes do not play games with these artificial sweeteners and stuff. They're sitting there with like a water bottle and a herbal tea, so that their chi is all figured out. I'm serious, dude. I've never seen people focusing so hard in my life, and I was like, I think I told you this. I was like, I got to play this game. This looks sick. So I went and I bought some cards. I don't get it.
What's on the cards? I don't even know what's on there.
One of the cards that I had, it's called like, you know, a Merciless Destruction or something. It's just like a demon on fire. And but what's funny is they have these horrendous names that are like, you know, Eternal Damnation. And it's like, you know, they lose an arrow or whatever. Like,
was that like what they were playing on Stranger Things?
No, that was Dungeons and Dragons type thing.
Dude, they're still
also
so
dope.
I'm so far away from that in my sex game to know what these are.
But that's what I'm. Yeah, sorry, man. Well, the bigger deal here is I'm just saying if you're gonna televise that kind of stuff, I think magic there should be competitive magic. You know,
competitive magic. Joe, can you look up how much a grand prize is for a Magic the Gathering tournament?
Plenty.
Really?
Dude, there's a documentary.
I'm just, can you make a living doing that?
Yes.
I'm not just like,
no,
I make $35,000 a year and I have four roommates living.
No, if you're sick, like if you're really good, you can make some serious money on this game.
Are there just tournaments nonstop? All
around?
The time. You just travel you around getting sponsored? It's like video games now.
Dude, yes,
you
it is.
Enter those tournaments.
But that's OG. They were doing it before video games.
That's OG because they were doing it before video games.
They were sponsoring,
but
dude.
Well after sports did playoffs and tournaments.
I'm just saying the sit-down version of sports, which is, go ahead.
For someone who's a professional Magic the Gathering player, the number one payout at a professional event is $40,000.
Fuck off, man. Does it have other pay scale on there?
Number two is 20,000. Three to four is 12,50. Five to eight is 10 grand. Nine through 16 get $5,000. And
oh yeah, because you got to try. It's like MySpace, right? You got to try to make top eight or whatever.
Yeah, it keeps going down. But
I'm really not even making. Dude, it's on Netflix. I'm gonna look up what it's called. I watched this documentary. It was actually super cool on Netflix.
The pro tour, even if you are 75 to 51, if you make it that far on the pro tour, you get at least a grand. Top prize again is 40.
Okay, so 40 grand if you win, which has got to be extremely hard, because I'm assuming
it's
the amount of number of people that enter a tournament is far astronomical to what an athlete goes into in their season of playing, right? So in the NFL, there's 32 teams, there's 53 players a team. We're looking at like 1,500 players in the NFL, all right? A little bit more than that. 1,500. But I will bet you in Magic the Gathering tournament, there's probably more than that, and you're only going for 40 grand. Meanwhile, everyone in the NFL makes way more than that. Mm-hmm. As they should. It's televised. There's advertising. There's a million reasons why.
some of these dudes get pretty good sponsorship money, though, which is weird. Like, that's where a lot of guys, like, actually make their money when they do this Magic together.
Okay, here's the reason why. Because if you continually make the finals, and you watched it on TV, right?
Yeah.
So if you continually make the finals, you're on TV, you're being seen, any advertiser for any market will just be like, here's 15 grand. I don't know what they're paying them. Let's say it's 15 grand for just playing. Right? Yeah. As long as you stay within these ranks, we'll give you 15 grand a year. And it may be more, it may be less, who knows.
Yeah.
But that's just 15 grand for playing. What do you got?
At any world championship sponsored event, you gain pro points, kind of like NASCAR, which gets you into the bigger tournaments later in the season, which get even bigger dollar amounts attached to them.
So there's a season.
I told you, dude.
What are these doing in the off season? Yo, I got to stack up on my cards. Got to spend more time at home in the basement.
I promise you,
can't be going
dude.
Out and working out. You know what I mean? I gotta be studying these cards.
You know what we're gonna do? Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna tweet it out. I'm gonna post a link on Instagram to the documentary. You have to watch it. It's actually like super interesting. And what I think is funny is that it's done exactly like sports documentaries, where they like follow the guys 30 around.
30 for 30,
dude. It's
Magic
like that.
The Gathering,
and they interview like three sets of people. And it's all their own individual struggles to get to the tournament and stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I watched it exactly the same way that I watched like the Boston Red Sox come back from 3-1, 30 for 30.
Just cheering these guys on.
I was waiting for the kid wearing like the t-shirt with the dragon on it to just be walking around going like, don't let me win today. Don't let me win today.
Love it.
I'm not even making fun of Magic. I think it's the coolest thing.
God, I hope we gain more women listeners from this.
I hope we gain more men listeners from this. I don't care who listens.
Let's get into some real sports shit. And this is one thing I read the other day.
Okay.
By the other day, I mean yesterday.
Okay.
Justin Verlander did not win the AL Cy Young, and Kate Upton is my new favorite person in the world.
Real quick. First tweet she sent out, I was toast. It took me a half hour to read the other two.
It was the best, dude. It was the best. She put, hey, MLB, I thought I was the only one that could fuck Justin Verlander because they didn't vote for one first place vote, right? Or no, he did. He did get first place votes. Dude, the guy that won it got no first place votes.
He had the most first place votes, yes. And then two guys didn't even have him on the ballot.
Yes.
Which to me, that just reeks of like a petty grievance that they have with Verlander. You know what I mean? Because it's like, dude, he can't be on top of so many lists. I mean, I guess he can't. You know what
For
I mean?
For two people to leave him off, I'm all right with that because I hear about that thing with MVPs and Heisman stuff. It's like, yo, this guy didn't even vote for any of these people for Heisman. It's like, yeah, he's just a weird guy that's disconnected.
He's got his own agenda.
Because here's the thing. When you got the voters, not all of them are still connected to the sport anymore.
No.
They just have a vote from being a writer for 50 years.
I know.
You don't want that guy to have a vote anymore. But he does. So he gets the envelope and he's like, I've never heard of Deshaun Watson and I'm speaking football Heisman, Lamar Jackson and Jabril Peppers. So I'm going to write in, who goes to my college? I'm going to write in so-and-so. Let's see the tweet. It turns out we live in a country where sometimes getting the most votes doesn't count. Who is that? Jeff Schultz?
Man, Jeff Schultz getting a little too political.
Jeff Schultz wrote that to Kate Upton and Justin Verlander.
Yeah, but he's wading into some territory where he could be in trouble.
Yeah, man, I won't step on the political stuff.
That's
what
I'm
saying.
No, but I'm just saying, like, be careful, man. You want your Twitter to be on fire for the next month?
You know what, though? On Twitter, a bad tweet is a great tweet.
Well, I guess.
You'll get so many followers for a horrible offensive tweet, as you will from... Tripoli and I were talking about this a few weeks ago. We'll post something on Twitter that we think is... And maybe this says something for our stand-up. Because we'll think it's the best joke we've ever written.
Yeah.
In 140 characters or less... It's gold. And we'll keep checking, and we're like, not one favorite on there? Nothing?
No retweet?
No nothing. But then we'll look at somebody else, and we're like, that got 48 retweets in 5 minutes? Like, and it was dog shit?
Time and place, dude. Time and place. You just got to know the will of the people.
The biggest time and place I was ever put in was on a game. I can't remember what the tweet was, but it was I was watching some game, and I put out a tweet, and then... I'm running through my feed, and Tom Segura put out the same exact tweet. Not that he didn't follow me, so it's not like he knew what I had tweeted.
Right, right, right.
But it was the same exact tweet about the game. It was
right, just a short, mutual like, thought, yeah.
And he did it like 10 minutes after.
Okay.
10, 15 minutes after, and he got like 50 favorites right away. Four people unfollowed me. It was like, who the fuck? This sucks. My followers are great.
That's the shit that
now
happens.
My followers are dope. That was a long time ago, and they were not as cool. But thank you, followers. You're the best. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following and favoriting and retweeting my stuff. and I will do the same for you. I'm a reciprocator.
And he is willing to let those four people back into his life
that unfollowed him. Come on back, y'all. Come on back. Do you think Verlander should have won the AL Cy Young?
I don't know, man. The AL Cy Young, this is going to sound like a horribly mean thing to say, but I was like, okay, American League, like every single category, I kind of didn't care about.
I think it's...
it was just way less interesting.
I'm an NL guy. I'm not a big American League guy. I'm a National League guy.
Well, see, for me, it's always been I like that they are different. I mean, I like them
I do
both.
Too.
So,
I love it.
So... But to me, it's like the American League awards are always, for some reason, whatever reason it is, that I'm less excited to see who wins that every year. Every single year, I'm less excited than the National League. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't have a reason.
I don't really give a shit either. And to be honest, who won? I don't know.
Who won?
I forgot. The AL Cy Young.
No. I keep wanting to call him Prosciutto, but that's not his last
name. Oh, Porcello?
Yeah. From the Red Sox,
yeah,
he
yeah.
won.
Porcello, he did really well.
No, he did a good job.
I was
going
to say he deserved it. Maybe Verlander did. I don't know. But
So how about this? What do you think? Let's talk a little bit. Okay, AL Manager of the Year award was pretty much a slam dunk. Francona was going to get that.
My NL Manager of the League award.
So I'm watching this.
I was surprised.
I didn't realize that like the playoffs don't count. The World Series doesn't count.
Yeah, no.
So I was like... Oh, when it first came out? Now, I knew that. I guess I had forgotten. So it came out, and I was screaming in my house. I was like, that's cool, dude. Guy breaks a 108-year curse, and you're going to give it to a guy he eliminated from the playoffs. And then I read up on it, and I'm like, well, if I had gotten educated on this at all, I'd see.
So Dave Roberts won the NL Manager of the Year Award for the Dodgers, Manager of the Dodgers. I'm a diehard Dodgers fan. Joe Maddon coaches the Cubs. Chris is a Cubs fan, White Sox fan.
Yeah, I don't pick. I refuse to pick.
He's a Chicago baseball fan.
Yeah, don't try to make me pick
He's
either.
A Chicago – let's break it down, too. We should have did this at the very beginning. But Chris is a Chicago sports fan, and he has Boston ties, so he's a Boston fan, too.
Very secondary.
Right.
I was talking about this, I think, with you. It's just like if they're not playing a Chicago team, I want them to win. But when it comes time, no. It's all Chicago, right. Yeah.
I'm from L.A. I'm an L.A. sports fan, except the NBA, where I'm a Suns fan, which is very weird. But I never liked – I wasn't a Lakers Showtime guy. I thought that was cocky.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a Clippers fan because Clippers sucked and no one's a fan except for Billy Crystal and Frankie Muniz. And then
– Are they really?
Yeah. And then the next closest thing was the Suns. And I was amped, dude. When the Suns were doing good, like with Nash and them, is when, like, for me, the NBA was great. Which, to me, the NBA is always great. It's my favorite sport. I played – basketball was my sport growing up. I played baseball. I played flag football, or as tackle football people call it, fag football. Fuck them, because I was too scared to get tackled. I was also too small to wear pads.
Here's the thing, though. I love that you brought that up, because they do. They say that all the time. They make fun of you and all that kind of stuff. And then look at what we got now. We got a bunch of NFL dudes that are like, I'm getting hurt. And I'm like, right, because you decided not to be smart and play with.
Did you see how hard that guy pushed me? Get out of here.
But I'm not trying to bag on the NFL guys. I'm just saying it always makes me laugh that it's like, you made fun of everybody for being a weak person or whatever. And now.
I love the NFL and I hate the NFL at the same time.
Yeah.
So many reasons. So many different reasons. So that's where my allegiance lies. What's up?
When you said Frankie Muniz was a big Clippers fan, I didn't believe you, so I tried to fact check you on that. And it turns out he is, but he was so disgusted with Donald Sterling that in 2014, he tried to buy the Clippers.
Holy shit.
I just thought that was an interesting
fact. That's super. Hold on. Frankie Muniz doesn't have $1 billion like Steve Ballmer does.
Apparently, at the time, it didn't look like it would cost that much to buy the Clippers.
I'm thinking, okay, let's do this.
I mean, he made a lot of money off Miracle in Lane 2.
Joe, look this up. Net worth.
But
Frankie Muniz, net worth.
But
because I'm going to guess, at the high end, it's $30
million. I don't even think it's that high.
I'm guessing in the high end, it's $30
million. That's like low-key a great little sports tidbit right there. Can you imagine Frankie Muniz or Muniz or whatever his name is? Can you imagine that guy?
I wrote a joke a long time ago. Breaking Bad ends where Malcolm in the Middle should have started because Cranston was in that.
Yeah.
And that's his, what's it called? When you're a suspect, they hide you?
Oh, witness protection.
Yeah, it's his witness protection.
So Frankie Muniz, for some reason, his net worth is $40 million in 2016. Bryan Cranston's is $30
million. Interesting.
Well, he doesn't have those high-profile investments like Frankie Muniz does, like the L.A. Clippers. His portfolio is far more diverse.
And by the way, when they do those net worth stuff, it's also not probably anywhere close. But they take into account like houses you own and property, all that kind of stuff. Excuse me. What's he going to do? Sell everything for a $40 million stake in an NBA team? Not even 5%.
Well, but see, he probably just thought that the team's like he might have thought that they were just going to shame this dude out, and he was going to have to like basically like bankruptcy sale the team, and he could get it at a discount.
I mean, but maybe, but
I don't know. Or maybe he just wanted to be like a part owner, like also, he just wanted a stake.
Steve Ballmer bought it for $2.5 billion.
Yeah, dude. But cash. But yeah, I was going to say, didn't that guy just show up with like a briefcase though, and be like, "Can I just have him?"
He did.
I really don't want to put up with any of this.
His story was this. He's a Seattle guy, obviously, like Microsoft and whatever, the whole nine. Or yeah. Apple, whatever the hell he was in.
Tech stuff.
Yeah. And he tried to bring a franchise to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
When the Kings were kind of going back and forth in Seattle, he was in that group of like, let's get them there. It fell through. He's also a Milwaukee guy. Like I think he's a place in Milwaukee, whatever it is. And they said, you know, you could buy the Bucks. And he was like, I'm going to pass on that bullshit because it's the Milwaukee Bucks. And he said, I really want to buy a team. What would be great is to buy a team in L.A. Immediately, maybe 3 months after he says that, the Sterling stuff happens. And his son calls him and says, Dad, there's all this stuff going on in L.A. with the Clippers and Sterling and racism. And he goes, "And you should, if you're looking to buy a team, this is probably your opportunity." And he's like, I'm on it. Called David Stern or Adam Silver, whoever it was, I don't remember. And it's like, I want the bid on this. And I'm like, okay, who's your group? He's like, me. No group. What's the cost? And they put the numbers together. $2.5 billion later, he paid it by himself, and he's the owner.
That's just wild, dude.
Wild to spend that. How much money do you have in your bank account that you could write a check for $2.5 billion and still live the same?
If I had that kind of money, if I had the money to spend $2.5 billion, I wouldn't spend that, and I would just buy a hockey team because they're all just millions. They're like hundred millions. And I'm just going to – this is my new plan. I'm going to get that rich. I needed somebody to get me in the tech bubble or whatever. And then when I get rich, I'll invest that money in oil or whatever, and then I'll get super rich. And then I'll just buy the Coyotes and do whatever I want with it.
For any new listeners, we are based in Phoenix, so that's why he'd buy the Coyotes. He has no – you don't like them at all, but you can fix them.
It's actually not – it's actually like I love them. They're like that sibling that keeps just screwing up, and you're like – I want to root for them. You know, we rooted for Chicago before we had a hockey team here, and then we got a hockey team, and I'm like, well, this is technically my hometown team, so I should pull for them. And they just infuriate me year after year. So I'm going to fix it.
This made me laugh too. I watch Shark Tank because I think it's hilarious.
It's kind of a weird show.
It is. But the people on there, I looked up their net worths, and they're like, you know, $50 million here, like
except Mark Cuban,
$75 million, $100 million, maybe $100 million. Then you look at Cuban, it's like $4 billion, and I'm like, yo, where's Steve Ballmer? Let's let him sit in and bid on this. Where are these other people? Like, get billionaires to sit in. Not that $50 million is anything to wink
at. It's not chump change.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a great. Dude, if you told me I have $50 million in my bank account right now, I'd be like, why are we doing this podcast? Let's go fly my private jet anywhere the fuck we want.
Yeah, I'd probably
blow all the money in one weekend.
If I had $50 million in my account, I would try to lowball the Clippers.
call up Frankie and be like, I heard you're bidding 40. I got 50.
Let's put it together. Let's hit them with a cool 90. Half and half.
Can you come up with the other 10 million somehow? You're in a band now. Sell some more albums.
He's in a band?
He's been in a band for a while. He lives in Phoenix.
Oh, well, you know. Hey, let's hope I don't run into him because he'll want to fight me probably for making fun of him on this podcast. But
we'll get him in as a guest someday.
We should.
No, we won't.
No, we will. And then we'll lay out the plans to transform the Clippers, me all and him.
Right. Dude, talk him into buying the Coyotes if he's so into it. I can't believe that. But good on him, man. Good on him. The NBA is in full swing now, man, and the Suns can't be worse. They have so many problems. But you know what? They shouldn't be good right now. Draymond Green for the Warriors came out and said something. They should be blowing out everybody there is with the roster that they have. But Draymond said, we haven't even scratched the surface yet with how good we can be. You damn right, because you've lost a few games. You got blown out by the Lakers. You got blown out by the Spurs. Spurs are good, but they're not the best. And when you watch the Warriors, you do see weaknesses in a playoff series that could make them lose. They're horrible defensively, and they can't rebound. And their bench is not thin. They've got talent on their bench.
Yeah.
But if you put it against a younger team, their bench is old and shitty. David West is washed, and they still play him. He didn't do good for San Antonio last year. They think he's going to do good now. He's just not. He's just a veteran guy, but he doesn't lend any leadership.
Yeah. They need – I don't know what they need. What they need is just to bow down to the Bulls, who are going all the way this year.
The Cavaliers keep trucking. I'm a LeBron guy, dude. I like him. I always have.
I have been laughing at him for the past, like, you know, 2 weeks since the Cubs won. Just because he was
waving that Cleveland flag, even though he says he's a Yankees fan.
Well, like, look, I'm not even like making fun of him for liking the Indians. I mean, he plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Isn't that what he's from there, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that makes sense. He's just repping his hometown team. But dude, he was driving me crazy when I was watching. Because really, I just got sick of seeing him during that World Series.
Really?
I got sick.
Because I told you, I love that.
Well, no, I love that they're there.
Team comes to support the other team
and do like a pregame thing, or you know what I mean. But it's like the same exact thing. Well, it's not the same exact. But the other thing that was really upsetting me is I was like, I really don't care that Eddie Vedder has enough money to buy a ticket to every game of the World Series. I don't care that John Cusack is there. You know what I mean?
And they show them over and over.
As much as
again.
I like Bill Murray, and Bill Murray's been a part of the Cubs thing forever. He's always been part of it. Even it was too much. They were like, he's like the unofficial mascot. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's a guy with a lot of money.
You know who is the 108-year-old woman? Did you see that she died a week after they won the series?
It's amazing.
108 years old, was born.
It's not amazing that she died. I guess I should clarify that.
Yeah, no. It is weird, though. I mean, it's pretty ironic. She's 108 years old. The Cubs hadn't won the series in 108 years.
Yep.
She sees them win, and then a week later is like, now I can die. 108? Who the fuck do you know that's 108 years old? That's old as shit. You make it to 90, and it's like, man, 10 more years, and they're 100 if they make it after tomorrow. When you're 90, every day is like, I mean, if they go, it's natural causes. You can get hit by a bus. It's still natural causes when you're 90.
Right.
But you make it to 100, and then it's like, at what point are you annoyed of going to her birthday party? And it's like, oh, it's grandma's 103rd birthday party. Oh, it's great-great-grandma's 106th birthday party. She's outlived 8 of her kids, 7 of her grandkids, and 2 of her great-grandkids can't be here because they're got a work function. You know what? Like, she's so old. But 108, she passed. She got to see her favorite team. Congratulations. I mean, look, that was such a massive thing. For this country, it was. Because everyone got on the Cubs bandwagon. Except for me. I was rooting for the Indians.
Well, no, this is what I kept saying. Is I was like, obviously, without a doubt, with all my heart and soul, I was rooting for the Cubs. Right? For two reasons. I said, one, as a Cubs fan, obviously I'm rooting for them. But as a White Sox fan, I don't like the Indians either. So it was like a double.
Good point.
But if and this really got me angry when I would see people who are White Sox fans putting like, go Cleveland. And I'm like, they're in your division. You should never be rooting for the Indians for any reason. If the Cubs win the World Series, it's still a Chicago baseball championship. It's a big thing. I could do a whole episode just screaming at these people. But if the Indians had won the World Series, I would not have probably been insanely upset or anything, because it's like they didn't do anything wrong and they were a good team, and it was, and their city needs one too. I mean, they don't have a championship there either. So
they hadn't won in shit, now that it's been what, 2 weeks, I can't remember, but I think they won 48 or something. 58 was the last time they had won it. But now that the Cubs have won the longest active streak of a drought of a championship, is right here in Arizona.
Brings Kevin pure joy.
The Arizona Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals so much. The Arizona Cardinals, longest active drought of a championship. The Indians are second now. I'm a Rams fan, dude. They're in division. I don't like them at all. I don't like the Cardinals at all. But I do cheer for some of the players.
Okay.
I do. We're going to have a few of them on in future episodes to talk some sports and hear some stories of them playing growing up.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hate on that. I just don't like a lot of the fans. I don't like the front office at all. I just grew up that way. Their front office was terrible. No, that's wrong. Indians, 1920? No, the last time they won the World Series, it was like 1948 or 1958.
Is it?
48.
Yeah, 1948. Okay.
1920 would have been just fine with me, to be honest.
Yeah, but no, that's too long. It was,
it would have hyped like 60, it. It would just,
it was
added
like 68
hype.
Years or something, I think.
The last time they lost, it was 97.
Right. Yes, they did. They lost to the Marlins.
What was that weird stat?
Wait, was it? I think it was the Marlins.
It had something to do with the Indians losing in a game 7. You remember? Oh, man. It was like the last time something such. It was crazy. And I remember thinking,
oh, yeah, they were 0-2 in game 7s at home.
It was that, but it was also this. I kept seeing this thing circulate that was like, the last time such and such happened, it was like a team blew a 3-1 lead in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or it was,
oh,
something.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, Joe, you're not going to find it. It was a crazy, weird stat.
Yeah, it was like.
It had nothing to do with sports. Like something had happened.
Yeah.
And the Indians blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
That sucks right now. They put it. I mean, if you watch the World Series, you know what
it was all
about.
Over the place. Yeah.
But it was something so obvious that people are listening to this yelling at us right now. You fucking idiots. It was this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, we're not smart. You got it? No.
God, I hope so.
The Indians wouldn't be the first team to blow a 3-1 lead in a championship series this year.
That's true.
Is that what you're talking about?
No. But
no. But that was hilarious because remember, Cleveland, everyone's like, oh, they blew it. Golden State blew a 3-1 lead. Ah. And then like 6 months later, they're all sitting there like, oh, God.
Flips to them.
We're going
to
do it.
How devastated, though, if the Cavs came back game 7 and lost, then the Indians up 3-1 and they lose. Cleveland would be, obviously, Cubs, no more lovable losers.
Yeah.
They won the World Series. They're on top of the world. But Cleveland would be like, we are the hateable losers.
Yeah.
We came close twice in a row. And our football team hasn't won a game yet.
Yeah.
Which is pathetic. My son makes fun of the Cleveland Browns so much, it's not even funny anymore. It used to be funny. But when a 7-year-old knows you're fucking awful,
yeah,
it ain't good for you, man. You're not selling merchandise. Robert Griffin III just got cleared to practice, and he ain't saving you.
Hey.
Tony Romo's free. You could get him next year. People are saying he's coming to the Cardinals.
Why?
I doubt it.
Oh, timeout. We have to talk about this because I almost lost my composure. Right?
Is it the Rams starting Jared Goff this Sunday? Oh, my Goff!
Are they really?
Yeah.
Also, is that like the hashtag already or what?
No, I sent a tweet to the Rams and said I'm trademarking Oh, my Goff. And response. No response.
Well, that's too bad.
I'm in the middle of trademarking it, though.
Good.
It costs like $1,000. But I'm figuring my T-shirt sales will make profit.
They better. They better with that solid of a catchphrase. But, no, what was... I'm going to lose what I was going to say here. Oh, so I went to the Coyotes and the Bruins game over the weekend, right?
Right, right.
And we went down to whatever that place is called, Westgate. And I've never seen anything like this. Tell me that this would fly in any made, like a sports town, right? There was a 49ers fan event.
No, it wouldn't.
In a bar.
No, it wouldn't. But
right
it makes
next
sense
to the stadium.
For Arizona.
Dude, I was like, I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if anybody, for those of you that haven't been to Phoenix or don't know anything about it, and it's not even Phoenix, it's Glendale. Way the shit out there.
It's way out there.
The Coyotes play next to the Cardinals Stadium.
Yeah.
It's the same. What Chris said, Westgate is like this big kind of shopping center, but the stadiums are the main thing there. So there's a football stadium, then the hockey stadium next door, and then all these shops and restaurants. It's a cool place. It's just very far.
And it's just not ideal.
So the fact that there's a 49ers party there is crazy because no other sports town is going to let that happen.
Dude. Okay, look, L.A., New York, and Chicago, you can't even have parties with other teams from that city at some of these places, or you'll have a brawl. You know what I mean? I could not believe, you know what, the Cardinals really need to, like, that should never happen. You should just not have that event. You shouldn't allow that event to happen.
That's how bad Glendale economy is doing. They can't turn down business.
Man. It's too bad.
But even still, you got to turn down the business. This is... Sports are, okay, all this political stuff just happened, whatever. I don't know enough to comment on it. Sports and politics are very similar in that when you talk about it, it is passionate. When you're talking to someone about it in a conversation, it's not hokey pokey stuff. There is passion behind it. You can laugh about it just the same way you do politics. But when you take a stance of a team or a city, you're very, passionate. You're very passionate.
It's like territorial,
about this. Very much so. If you're a Republican, you're territorial about being a Republican. So if you're a Democrat or independent, you're just listening to them and saying, yeah, but what about this and this and this from my perspective? Sports is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Los Angeles. You say things about my teams, and I'm going to get pretty upset about it if you don't have valid points, right? Same as political ways. If you say something about politics, if you're not making valid points, I'm going to come back at you. When you're in a city, I understand because I'm such a huge sports fan that Phoenix in this city, I shouldn't be able to have an LA Rams party to watch a Rams game or whatever. Now, the 49ers played here the next day. Even still,
even worse,
an establishment shouldn't have it unless it's that particular bar. What I mean by that is there are Steelers bars in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a Cowboys bar in Phoenix somewhere. It's not near the stadium. None of them are near the stadium.
That's my problem, is really what it was. It's like, dude, you can't. Sure, have your 49ers, AZ 49ers,
shitload
crew
of Chicago
or whatever.
Bars. In Phoenix.
I know,
there's
it's really nice for me.
There's a people from Chicago that live in Phoenix. That's why.
Yeah.
But you go to all these other cities and there's like, you know, you ask the concierge when you're on the road, hey, is there a such and such bar in this town? And typically for LA, no, there's not. Nobody gives a shit. But for the major fan bases to say, oh yeah, there's one here and people will go watch the games there because that's their little home spot. You don't want to go to a bar to watch a game with other fans that are against you. Unfortunately, we live in the day and age where you're going to get fucked up. And not the drunk kind. You're going to get punched, stabbed, shot, and not come back to your hotel the same way you left.
Right.
And as a Dodgers fan, I know that just from leaving the stadium and seeing it.
Dude, White Sox, man. It's like you walk out into a war zone almost, you know?
It's terrifying.
You shouldn't be that.
Also, it shouldn't be that way at all.
No.
Obviously, it shouldn't. It's such a minuscule thing as we get older. That people are like that upset that their team lost are going to fuck somebody up.
Right.
A fan of another team. Just a fan.
Yeah.
Someone that honestly had no impact of the game whatsoever.
Right. We all came for the same reason.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get a beer and a hot dog.
When you bought that ticket, you were like, sweet, dude. I'm going to go to this game. It's going to be awesome.
Exactly. That's what I always try to explain to people. Like, I get passionate. I get angry at the game, whatever. But it's like I've never known somebody who's like, man, I'm really glad I spent this $85 to get kicked out halfway through and maybe lose my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just go watch the game and be happy. And
at this point, it's not worth it, dude. I enjoy watching the game at home with my friends or my son and knowing that we're safe.
Yeah.
Is that weird? Like, is it?
I go to like 3, maybe 4 games total a year, and that's way up. In the past, like, 2 years. Like, I used to go to none or one.
But I go impartial. When I go see my team play.
Yeah.
Suns games, I will wear Suns gear because I'm within the majority.
Right.
Right? It's like a black person in America.
Right.
Right? When I mean that in when I show up to see the Dodgers play the Diamondbacks, I just wear
neutral.
Neither.
Okay. Yeah,
neutral colors, neutral everything. I don't stand up and cheer. I just do my thing. I enjoy the game, and I root inside. And then my son stands up and he goes, "You're a Dodgers fan, get up." And I'm like, "You need to just sit the fuck down."
Yeah, chill. Dude, that's what I did this last weekend. Because, like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you know, my fiance's family, they're all from Boston. So when we went to Boston and we watched a game, I bought like a hat of the Bruins and stuff because I'm like, this is their family. But you're not going to – when we were going to the Coyotes game, I'm like, I can't wear a Bruins hat to a Coyotes game.
But more than likely, there's more Bruins fans than Coyotes fans.
There was more. Yeah. And it's not nearly as bad. See, like, again, my dad and I go for the Chicago Blackhawks. That's embarrassing. The entire place. It's like a home game. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I feel bad for the Coyotes. I really do. It shouldn't be that way. They should have a base. But
well, they will. Where are they moving to? Tempe?
They're moving right across the street from Tempe Marketplace.
That's a great location.
It is. They just, I mean, I know this sounds so petty, but now they just have to win some games.
Okay, you're right.
And they'll be fine.
You're right. But the fact that they're moving there, we had just said, Glendale is so far. Now, the Cardinals don't have a problem selling out games because it's one day of the week.
Eight times a year.
And it's a weekend.
It's eight times a year on a Sunday.
Or a Monday night, and that's like super amplified Monday night, and maybe a Thursday night if they get scheduled that game at home. Okay, but even then, that's only once during the week. You can take the bullet for that if you have to work in the morning.
Right.
And typically the games out here are at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a day of it.
Yeah.
But Coyotes, much like the NBA, exactly like the NBA, play multiple games during the week. For people that don't know, the Suns Stadium is downtown Phoenix, which is south but pretty centrally located.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know why it's not a problem is because it's always been there.
Right.
Ever since they've been in Phoenix, I mean, even the stadium before Talking Stick Arena, it was still McDowell and somewhere close to downtown, wherever that was, Central or Grand Avenue, which is, you know, it's actually a little further than downtown. But that's just always been the case. And people kind of bite that bullet. The Diamondbacks are there. It's actually a good place to go see a game in downtown Phoenix.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The commute's not too bad. Glendale's just very far. I think the fact that they're in Tempe and moving to that location, Tempe Marketplace is located right by two major freeways, not far from the third major freeway.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be that intersection at Rural and the 202.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It'll be very accessible. The stadium will be very accessible.
Which will be very big for them. Mm-hmm. And you know what it'll do is I think it's going to sell a lot more business corporate season tickets.
Yeah, those first the down in the bowl there where they want to send clients or whatever. So that, I mean, that's all good. It's just, I just want them to do this the right way. I'm worried that they won't.
You know how to build it. We've had so many conversations off mic where Chris has this diabolical plan. Biological. I'm an idiot.
It could plan. Technically, I guess it could be a biological plan. It was organic. It came from the heart, but
to rebuild the Coyotes. And when he tells me, now Chris is a huge hockey guy. I'm not a novice, but I don't follow it enough only because I can't pronounce Russians' names, and that's like 90% of the people in the NHL. But when you tell me, I'm like, yo, how are you not the general manager of the Coyotes? I know why you're not the owner, because you're not friends with Frankie Muniz.
I was gonna say I don't have that Frankie Muniz money.
But general manager, you've got it on lock.
I think I could do it. And
resume, bruh.
Well, all I'm saying is they hired a dude who's like 26 years old. I'm like, yo, the door's open now. You guys are just hiring people.
I got two more years life experience.
Yeah, let's be serious here. I'll sit with him and I'll listen to his stuff, but just let me do it. He can run the business part of it. Let me be like fan community outreach guy. I will fix this. I promise you.
I like that.
But
submit it to the team.
Start hitting him up on Twitter. I'm going to lay my, maybe next week.
Let's send this episode.
Well, what we'll do is
the Coyotes
next week or in a couple weeks, whenever we want to just have like, you know, if it's a slow sports week or whatever, we'll do this. I'll write it out and I'll announce my plan.
This is what I want you to do. I want you to write out your plan.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to have Joe Bartnick on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And he was on the Glory Days, a couple weeks ago.
Good dude.
great dude, huge hockey guy. Yeah,
killer hockey podcast. After we had him on, I went through a bunch of them.
Puck Off?
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Sports Network podcast.
Yeah, Puck so Off, dude. It's amazing.
And Bartnick tours with Burr, and he's so funny. But we'll have him on, and you guys will go and just kind of go through the Coyotes. We'll have a special General Manager Coyotes episode.
Heck yeah. Dude, that'd be sweet.
We'll do it.
Because
we'll
he could devil's advocate pretty well.
Maybe on we'll that. Do you that know, he'll like know a the special episode of just because that'll take up a majority of the time.
That could take a long time if we really got into it.
All right. We'll record it. We'll see what we can do. Maybe it'll be a special episode. Maybe it'll be the week's episode.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like a Christmas special.
Oh, I like that. Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yeah, so we got a little bit of time.
I love Thanksgiving, man.
Who doesn't?
Oh, it's my favorite holiday. I love it, dude. I love it.
I actually do, too.
God, are you going to have leftovers, you think?
Probably.
I'll come over.
All right.
Friday morning?
I'll set it up, yeah. Right. I'll try to
you
set it.
You don't have to be awake. Just I might them out.
Put them in tinfoil outside in a Tupperware so the cats in the neighborhood can't get to your turkey.
Oh, my God, I love it. Dude, you know what? We're going to head out of here in a second, but I've been growing this beard recently. It hurts bad. Like, you have a slick. Yours is full. Like, it's grown.
You'll get there. I can see you'll get there.
You think so?
You just got to let it go.
I'm missing some pieces, but, like,
it'll happen.
Yours doesn't hurt, though.
No, because you'll get to a point where it's like there's this little middle ground when you shave the beard off, and then when it comes back in, it's kind of like, it's like as the roots are coming out and stuff, I think your pores or whatever and the follicles are just kind of like, oh, God, it'll go away.
All right.
Trust me.
And then do you shave around your mouth?
I have to.
Yeah, me too. Because I don't like feeling it. Mm-mm. Is that weird? Like, I don't like feeling
it. No, I did it just the other day, but it's already, like, growing back. You know, you just kind of, like, take a little trimmer and shave it out.
Oh, no, I went straight razor and just tried to clip
around
the edges, but I cut my mouth.
I could have seen that happening.
That's what being a man is like, ladies. Talk about shaving your legs and pits all you want, but when it comes to shaving your mouth, I don't get that waxed.
Yeah, take a facial wound.
I know this is a little late, but it took a long time to find. There are currently only 37 players that are Russian in the NHL.
There you go.
Damn it. 37. Either way, they all have fucked up names.
There's a lot of tough
There's
names.
Only 37 Russians in the NFL? Correct. I mean, the NHL?
Correct. I was going to say, NFL? I think there's less in the NFL. But
in the NHL? I think there's, yeah.
There are
right.
far fewer.
Maybe Russian origin, but nobody straight from. Man, that's a crazy stat. All right, next time we're going to look some stuff up of like, Croatia, like, what are they got to be something?
They got to be something.
Yeah, but most of them are not American. There's a lot of Canadians. Whatever. All right. Before I offend everyone, let's just get the hell out of here. Guys, again, follow us on Twitter. At KE Comedy. At Chris Centeni. ChrisCentanni. And subscribe to the show on iTunes. Hit up punchdrugsports.com and the Punch Drunk Sports Network and see what's going on there. And thanks, everybody, for listening, man. Have a good week. Enjoy your sports.
We will see you.